Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Analysis with over 70 years combined experience. This is the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast.
NBA, some college, a little bit of everything.
You know, what can I say? But it wasn't going to happen here with him. I was okay with it because it wasn't about talent, I didn't think.
All right, let's get right to it.
All right, welcome to the Bob Ryan, Jeff Goodman, Gary Tanguy along for the ride podcast and Zoom. I should let you know that Jeff, of course, is doing the NCAA stuff, but I'm going to let you a little inside baseball. Could get crazy. We're recording this at like 10 o'clock at night, which for Bob and myself, that's pretty freaking late. He's up to probably watch the West Coast games, but things get a little weird. It's after dark. Before we get to the NCAA, and Bob's got a lot to talk about, I do have to tell you about Bet Online. They make this Zoom and this podcast possible. So you get the latest odds, totals, player performance, and props. Who's going to be the next coach for what team and where they're going to land? Guys are moving everywhere. Bet Online is the number one spot for all your sports betting needs. Head on over to the website now. 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Use the promo code CLNS50 to get started. Bet Online, your source for hockey, boxing, UFC. Got great casino games too. Bet Online, where the game starts. Okay, Bob, NCAA stuff. It's been awesome. I mean, it's been terrific. And I want to start with Coach K, because to me, he is just such a captivating figure. And it's like, you know, how do you view this guy? And when did he become like the bad guy? Because I'm like, I mean, some people still root against him, and I don't understand it.
Well, Duke is a school that is a polarizing school, and certainly even in this, particularly in the state of North Carolina, because it's the private school with the rich kids, supposedly. That's the image. The private school, the rich kids, the out-of-staters, the snobbies, you know, the elitists, yeah, and all that. That's the image that they have in terms of, as opposed to North Carolina, the state school, or NC State, any of those, any other school in the state, that particularly all the state schools. But as far as Coach K is concerned, let's start with the professional aspect of it. He's been to 12 Final Fours. He's won five times. He's won 1,200 games exactly now, including postseason. Dwarfs everybody else. In that regard, it's going to be very difficult for anyone to ever catch him. And certainly winning games that many, as he's won at one school at Duke, is going to be difficult to catch, because there's very few people will have long tenures like that. A long tenure now is 10 years, 12 years, even 20 maybe, like Jay Wright's 20 at Villanova. But the world he has operated in is a different world. The guy he's always compared to is John Wooden, and John Wooden won the 10 in the 12 years, and including his last one in 1975. When he started the NCAA tournament, when he first went to his first Final Four in 1962, it was a 25-team tournament. And in his heyday at UCLA, they would be automatically placed in a regional, which means they had to win four games to win the national championship. Sometimes those games were in Los Angeles proper, if not maybe at the sports arena, for example. It was an easier path. There's no question about it. The tournament expanded. His last year in 75, it expanded. And then gradually it went from to 25 to 32 to 40. And now it is present 68. And you have to win six games to win a championship, which John Wooden most of those years had to win four. So that's a big difference right there. Okay. And the talent is spread so much now, thanks to the international basketball. I mean, you know, there were no international players of any consequence. Very few, at least in Wooden's time, which was, and now, of course, international players dot rosters everywhere. They enhance the product. All right. So, and then you throw in the fact that he was the Olympic coach three times over, was handed the job by Jerry Colangelo because they needed help. Larry Brown was an ineffective Olympic coach. Mike Krzyzewski appeared to be the most logical person, although he had not handled professionals well. He's handled them now, and they all swear by him. The LeBron Jameses of the world, the Kobe Bryants of the world, I think they are highly appreciative of his acumen. And so nobody's got that kind of resume combined. You can argue he's the best coach of all time. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, should he have gone to the Lakers?
Well, or even the Celtics at one point.
The Celtics too, right. Did Gavin go after him?
Gavin went after him. I think horses for courses. I think he, staying at Duke, it was a fit. The word fit is appropriate. Could he have been a successful professional coach? More than likely. I think he certainly understood the dynamics of it. But he made a wise decision to stick with it and skate his lane, to borrow a, you know, mixed metaphor, and stay at Duke. He didn't have any burning desire to, I don't think it, you know, it's just, he felt he knew who he was and where he belonged and what he liked doing and liked working with those kids, and having the control that he had. You know, he's the most important, let's face it. He has total control. You know, he's an emperor. Now, as far as the personal is concerned, he can be a bit imperious, to say the least. Some people think he's sanctimonious at times. He can play the game. He likes to portray himself as a teacher and a scholar the kids come first and winning games is incidental and all, you know, that to the task of teaching the game properly and all, you know, there's a lot of sufficient evidence that he puts a high priority on winning. Don't worry. It doesn't take some losses. It takes them about as poorly as you would expect any coach to take them. My own personal dealings have been sparse, but friendly and cordial over the years. But he has a reputation. That other coaches and many coaches in both college have and all sports, which is that he can be hard to deal with for his local guys and girls. He can be very contentious. He's thin-skinned to a degree, but he's great with outsiders. And I was an outsider. I've never been an outsider. And I was treated very cordially by him over the years, whenever I needed to interact with him. And the smirks of the locals, you know, oh yeah, well, you don't see them every day and all that.
Right.
So, you know, but that's not uncommon. That's a phenomenon that exists.
Of course.
In football, basketball, hockey, I'm sure at the highest level of hockey as well. So that's the thing. He's a symbol of Duke. You know, he's not a bad guy at all. Let me say one very positive thing about his coaching itself. Say the same thing about John Wooden. There is no Mike Krzyzewski style of basketball. There are principles and philosophies, but there is no style. He has won with big men, little men, mid-sized guys, as did Wooden. Wooden's first championship in 1964, his starting center was Fred Slaughter, was 6'5". And his first two championships did not feature a so-called a big, as we would call it at all. They were all mid-sized and smaller. The stars of his second championship were his backcourt, Walt Hazard and Gail Goodrich, who scored 42 in the title game in 65. Then he got Lou Alcindor. Well, he knew what to do with him, didn't he? He won three championships. And then Alcindor graduates, and he's got another team without a prominent center, Steve Patterson. He's built around the forwards, who were Curtis Rowe and Sidney Wicks. And then he wins a final championship with another team that did not have a dominant center in 1975. Then he gets Walton. Excuse me.
Well, I was going to say Bill. You're talking about the big redhead.
A high post center.
Yeah.
For Marley, but he wins two more with Walton and loses in the semifinals in a famous game against North Carolina State. And then he wins one more with Richard Washington and David Greenwood, you know, two 6'10 guys that weren't dominant. You know, they were finesse players. There was no style. And the same with Krzyzewski. He teaches basketball. He doesn't teach the Mike Krzyzewski basketball. So that's very much in his favor. He wins with all. He gets assesses the talent annually and then builds around him. He doesn't put square pegs in round holes or vice versa. He does not do that, as many coaches do, but he doesn't.
I also think in observing the team this year, it was certainly in the ACC tournament, there's a lot of pressure on these kids.
Oh.
You know, and I thought you could feel it in the Ohio State game. And it's just, you know, I don't know how he deals with that as a coach. I mean, I don't know how that guy can tell his kids, look, yeah, it's my final year, but just relax. And I think that's kind of an issue for them.
I think they definitely felt the pressure in the North Carolina game and the final game at in regular season, and they felt it against Virginia Tech in the ACC championship game. They seem to handle it better in the tournament, the first two rounds of the tournament, and now they're going to wind up playing a very tenacious Texas Tech team. But now the prize is within reach.
I meant Michigan State, not Ohio State. I meant Michigan State. Go ahead.
First of all, it's a young group. They are young. You know, they're not. They're almost Fab Five young. Banchero's young. Keel is young. Mark Williams is young. They're starting three or four freshmen, and you know, basically, they're young. And so it's an unfortunate circumstance for them to be the team that has to have the burden of being Coach K's farewell team. They're supposed to send them off, you know, with a big gift. It's a lot of pressure on them. And I questioned as this tournament started, having seen them play Carolina and Virginia Tech, whether they would be able to handle the pressure. And it's not done yet. I mean, if my God forbid, they get to a championship game, it's going to be enormous. One thing Coach K has always talked about, I'll say this, is that, look, I've won them and it's not about me. You know, this is their moment. Each group every year has it's that team. It's their, they haven't put a banner up, you know, these kids. So I have, but they haven't. And he does make a point about that. And I think you can take him. I think he believes that. That I do think is sincere.
Now let's get to our guy that you and I are both fans of. And I would say that he's probably next in line to the Krzyzewski type, because the nature of the sport makes it very difficult for a coach to have a tenure like Krzyzewski, right? Coaches get burned out. They get fired.
Yeah.
You know, people aren't patient. But, you know, Jay Wright at Nova, again, another guy could have gone to the Sixers. Good thing he didn't. I think that Nova is, they're my pick to click because they're just solid. Like they're just really good. And they may not be a number one seed, but I don't see any dents in the armor.
I wish I could, for the sake of sparkling conversation, I wish I could disagree with you, but I can't. I'm not predicting that they're going to win, but I would be not remotely surprised if they do win. And they are the most reliable team. They're the most fine. They didn't even win their conference. You know, they didn't. They've had some bad nights, but lately they look like a team that knows, that's well prepared, and they've got the thing that's so often has become this talking point in an NCAA tournament. They've got a veteran guard to rely on in the tense moments that Connor Gillespie, a fifth year senior who's playing because of the COVID extension that was granted. You know.
And who's probably going to play in Europe and won't play in the NBA, or if he does, it'll be a cup of coffee.
I was thinking, I don't expect him to have a great NBA career. He might be the next Jalen Brunson, who also came from Philadelphia, I mean, came from there. He might, as Philadelphia school, he might be the next. He might have a career. He might. I don't know. But but if he doesn't take anything away from the wonderful college career he's had, I don't know if he's sufficiently athletic to drive in the NBA. I didn't know whether Brunson was, but I'd love to have Brunson on my team. I'd love to wish the Celtics had Brunson as in their 8-man rotation. I'd love that. But anyway, they've got that guy, and he, that type of guy that has very often been the key player on a championship team. They've got nice, reliable big men. They're solid, and they're playing. I like the way they're playing, and I don't think I don't have trouble, but I'll be really surprised if they don't beat Michigan. I think that's a game I I'll be stunned. I think they'll win that game.
Yeah, I think they'll win that game too. But man, I love Michigan's coach. You know, I love his. He's great.
I mean, you know,
Howard. I love Juwan Howard.
Howard. Well, you know, he said what a strange 5 weeks or so for Juwan Howard, 4 or 5 weeks since the incident and the suspension, and then he comes back and here they are. A lot of people thought they didn't belong in the tournament, or at very least should have been in a play.
Yeah.
And here they are. And remember, they were hyped big time before the season. A lot of people had high expectations. They were a top 10 team, and they've got an old fashioned Al McGuire aircraft carrier center there and on that team. I liked him. I love this kid. They're dangerous, but I don't see that. I can't see them beating Villanova. I'd be surprised.
I don't think so either. And I don't condone what happened. I mean, that was unfortunate. I don't know if the timing was right to have the discussion between the coaches at that point in time. But I don't condone what he did. I just think that anytime you get a guy like that, who players just, you know, can relate to.
You
have a guy that was, you know, the Fab Five, played in the NBA for what, like 19 seasons? He's around forever.
He had a huge career. And
guys, listen to him.
He impressed me early on. He did a PSA early on in his career to promote reading on kids. You know, rather than a commercial to make some money. I'm not sure he didn't do some of those too, but that was a very impressive thing. Now, people that know him say he's solid, very solid individual. He does have that one, you know, he's a tough kid from the streets, and however, originally, and that flared up, that little, that inner guy.
Oh, yeah, it came, which was wrong. He shouldn't, it was obviously wrong.
It was a mistake.
No doubt it was a mistake. I mean, you can't do that.
I just want to talk about something, you know, it was just for the fun of it. I broke down the tournament. In terms of experience and pedigree, okay? Off the top of your head, quick 5 seconds, how many former champions do you think are in this field of 16?
Two.
Eight.
Eight?
Eight schools in this final 16 have won an NCAA championship or two.
Run them down.
Villanova.
Yeah.
Arizona. Michigan.
Yeah.
1989, UCLA, North Carolina, Arkansas, Nolan Richardson, 1994.
Arkansas, right.
Duke and Kansas. They've all won national championships.
Yeah.
Five other schools have been to a Final Four, four of them twice or more.
Jeez. Wow. Yeah.
This is a pedigree. Houston. Well,
yeah. Oh, Houston. Yeah. The Phi Slamma Jamma. Yeah.
Purdue. They won twice, and they were the victims in 1969 of Walton's of Alcindor's third team, the Rick Mount team, and then in 1980 with Lute Olson and company, they were in the Final Four. Okay, and that was Joe Barry Carroll. Remember that?
Yeah.
Gonzaga, of course.
Yeah.
I've been to Texas Tech in,
with Bobby
2019. No, two years ago.
Oh, that was Barnes. Was that Barnes?
It was Mark Adams' first year.
Okay.
And Providence has been here twice, 73 and 87.
Well, this leads into my point that I wanted to make, is that when we started to see the one and dones, you know, everyone said this is going to change college basketball and it's not going to be as much fun. That really hasn't happened.
No, I don't think so, because it's still the lure is still there. You can argue talent, and when was the last truly great team, which I think was Florida, was just, you know, back in 06 and 07.
Yeah.
But anyway, you can argue that, but the lure is still there. The NLURE is still there. By the way, so there's the three teams that haven't been in the Final Four, of course, St. Peter's, Miami, and Iowa State. But isn't that interesting? 13 of the teams have been to a Final Four.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Half the field
has
won a championship.
Well, it's also more competitive. I mean, even though you still have the big name programs that are there, I mean, when, you know, guy went before, it was one and done. I mean, if UCLA was in, then they were going to win. Or if Indiana was in, they were going to win. I mean, now it's a little more wide open. There's no doubt about that.
I have it down that there's only one team, there's one team that we would all agree, any rational human being would agree, has absolutely no chance to win this tournament, and that's St. Peter's.
Yeah.
They've done their thing. And if they ever beat Purdue in Mirabile Dictu, you know, well, okay, right. Well, George, you know, but they're here this far. And teams have done it. George Mason in 06 got to the Final Four out of nowhere. And subsequently other mid-majors have done it. But St. Peter's. And of course, yeah, right. They'd be the most far-fetched. Miami has no chance to win. They can't win this tournament.
Now, what do you think of Larrañaga?
And Iowa State can't win this tournament.
Yeah, what do you think of Miami's coach?
I like him.
He's an NBA assistant guy, isn't he?
No, that's his son.
Yeah, but hasn't the father been on the bench too?
No. Larrañaga, who played at Providence and once scored 36 against BC, by the way. Jim Larrañaga went into the coaching track immediately and has been head coach at Bowling Green, at George Mason, and for the last 10 or 12 years at Miami.
Oh, I thought, yeah, no, I knew his son was even on the bench for the South. Them. Yeah, but no, I thought his old man did too.
He has delivered for them. You know, he made them jump from George Mason after getting them to the Final Four. And he's giving Miami a good run. And I think they're very pleased. But I like him. He's a garrulous guy. He's a good quotable guy. Good sense of humor. Good. I think he has a good perspective on the whole thing. So, I think he's a guy you can root for easily.
Do you see a quality pro coming out of this tournament?
You asked me that question, and I did a lot of thinking, and I think we've got a lot of pretty good players. We have some rotation. I don't think we've got Ogbia at Kansas, all right, maybe. Drew Timmy, I'm not sure. Someone had a great comparison at my coffee shop yesterday. Christian Laettner type. He is. That's what Drew Timmy is. And Laettner had a long career, but he was never a star in the NBA. You know, he had, but
right.
Timmy's going to be in the NBA, but how great he's going to be, I don't know. There's the big kid at Purdue, you know, the world doesn't bleed for 7-4 guys anymore. He's an effective player, Zach Edey. But I don't know what his future where lies. Johnny Zuzang at UCLA is definitely going to be a somebody of note and of interest. A nice 6'7" player. But not a whole lot of guys are jumping out of me. Duke. Oh, Banchero. Now Banchero is going to be a top 5 pick or even top 3, and yet I want to see a little more fire and oomph out of him. I think.
Right.
As the great Bob Cousy would say, he doesn't always present himself the way he should. He's very skilled. And he is 6'10", but there's I think he needs a boot and a fanny every now and then.
Right, a little motivation.
But he certainly is skilled, and he's definitely going to be a prized NBA prospect.
I mean, when through the changes of college basketball and the NCAA tournament, I think it's just as entertaining as it's always been. Don't you? Even though, reason I asked the question about the big name, like you don't need. A Tatum or, you know, well, I mean, LeBron went, I mean, obviously that was a different situation, or you don't necessarily need that number one guy who's going to be a Hall of Famer to make the tournament competitive and make it interesting.
No, I mean, these are a lot of pretty good teams here. Pretty good. Nice teams. You know,
but that makes it more interesting is my point.
Yeah.
I was wondering, like, I remember like Kentucky. Kentucky, you know, like it was going to be Kentucky, Duke, North Carolina. What were we going to do? Like, they were going to have a new freshman class every year because then the guys were going to go to the pros. And I thought the NCAA tournament wasn't going to be as interesting. I was wrong.
You were not alone. And some of us worried about that, but it has not transpired badly at all. That there's been terrific games in the tournament. And then we've had the great Cinderella story with St. Peter's.
Sure.
And of course we got the saga, the Duke thing. One of the great little subplots is who's going to go farther, Duke or Carolina? You know, now the only place they could meet left is in the Final Four. Of course, you know they can.
Right.
Carolina is playing UCLA, and then Duke's playing Texas Tech. But that's a little subplot there. No, you're right. There's a lot of nice players, but not that many knock your socks off players that I know, and certainly no team of that nature. You know, this Gonzaga. Who wind up being number one, and they fell. They've lost 3 games. They're not particularly deep, you know, and so they're vulnerable. I mean, they're not a lock. There's no lock at all. and there's a number of teams. We mentioned Villanova, Arizona. Now there's a team, with Matt Mathurin, if that's how you pronounce his name, Mathurin. He's definitely a pro. They could win. UCLA could win. Carolina could win. Arkansas could win. Duke could win. Kansas could win. You know, I really think the only teams that cannot win are St. Peter's, Michigan, Miami, and Iowa State.
So who's your pick to click? Are you going with Nova?
I'll stick with – I picked my bracket. I did pick Gonzaga. I'm rooting for him. I want him to get it done. I want them to scale the mountaintop finally after – not. You know, they've been climbing up since 1999. Right. 23 consecutive years of winning 20 games in a row. The last four, they've won 30. And they've done it one five times out of 6 or 7 years. They've won 30. And yet they have fallen short. They've gotten to the Final Four twice. I'd like to see them do it. It's still a good story. As far as I know, they're clean, you know, at least in relatively clean. As far as I know, people aren't pointing too many fingers at Mark Few for anything of that nature.
Right. Well, this would be the year to do it. I mean,
yeah,
right.
Now, if they don't win, I'm rooting for Villanova. Obviously, I'm a big admirer of Jay Wright. I would pull for them. And that would be a semifinal game. That would be a semifinal game. That wouldn't be the championship game, Gonzaga Villanova. That's what happens if they win. We have one possibility for a one versus two, and that's the South, where Arizona is one and Villanova is two. That's the only bracket where we have a one versus two. And we have one a game in which a double digit is playing a double digit, which is in the Midwest, number 10 Miami, number 11 Iowa State. And of course, locally, hey, how can we root against Providence? Can't root against them. Not with Eddie Cooley. I love Eddie Cooley. So if Providence were to win, that'd be fine with me. Very, very good.
Yeah. I mean, Cooley was an assistant for Al at BC, right?
Sure was.
So tell me about him. Why has Cooley done such a good job
he was an excellent eye for talent because he and Billy Cohen found.
Well, they made Al. I mean, we've talked
about it. They found all those players for Al. Al coached him up with his flex offense and until it wasn't working anymore. And until Al's work habits finally, you know, did him in.
And he blamed you.
Oh yeah. I cost him a job. Yeah. And of course he did a bang up job at Kennesaw State.
Yeah.
He did a tremendous job. That's why he's out of his work right now.
Yeah.
I don't want to knock him. Al's a good human being.
He's a good guy. I like him too.
He's a good human being. Eddie Cooley is a quality guy. He's a smart guy. He runs a program where he demands more than basketball excellence in those kids. They have to act properly. They have a code of conduct, unspoken, but it's real. I know it. And he wants his kids to be to conduct themselves with class. And he can coach. He just flat out can coach. And he's done a terrific job at Providence.
It seems to me that that's the perfect school for him. He's the perfect coach for that school. And like, that's where he should be forever.
And he's local. Yeah. And I think he's content. I hope he is. I agree with you. I mean, he's a local guy, which is, you know, rare, really, frankly.
But I do remember Timmy Welsh saying to me one time, because when he had success there, now he's doing ESPN games, but he got offered a lot of money, I think, to Nebraska or something, and he didn't take it because he wanted to stay at Providence College. And then, you know, things didn't work out for Tim. So you always wonder about somebody's going to throw a lot of money at Cooley.
Yeah, well, and he's certainly young enough that he's got good many fruitful years ahead of him. He's in his 40s, I guess, and he certainly could do that. But it's good for them. It's a good fit. I've mentioned Jay Wright being a great fit for Villanova, and Eddie Cooley is clearly a great fit for Providence. So, you know, when you find those fits like Mark Few at Gonzaga, you know, nobody in the world outside of Spokane knew who he was. When Don Monson, who had a reputation, bailed after his first successful year there in 99, right, losing to UConn in the Final Eight game. And he's been drifting around. He's now at Long Beach State, but he's looking for that greener pasture, you know. And Mark Few's going to the Hall of Fame, you know, 23 years later. But nobody knew who he was, but he's obviously the perfect fit for Gonzaga.
Bob, before we go to the NBA, do you have anything else you'd like to talk about with the NCAA? Because I know you're big on it.
Yeah, I love the tournament. And I think you hit upon it that there was reason to worry about whether the thing would retain its cachet, and it certainly has, absolutely. And
I think it has. You know what else I worried about, Bob, was the G League.
Yeah.
You know, the whole thing about like, hey, you know, you go play a year in the G League. I know.
Well, so far people, you know, when you, as long as, when it, if it continues to provide St. Peter's kinds of stories, you know, the people love those stories. I mean, the New York papers are going out of their minds.
Yeah. But also I just think that like, you know, like if you just see good competitive basketball, I mean, you know, like Michigan and Duke. I mean, okay, so like I was watching Michigan and Duke, and I'm like thinking, like, I didn't know if I saw anybody in that game that's going to be, you know, a top five pick or going to be the next Hall of Famer or next All-Star. I don't care.
No, I don't either.
I don't care. It's just the games are good. And I think that people realize that the games are good regardless, you know, regardless of if you have an NBA
okay,
player
we
or not.
Do have-
so if some kid wants to go to the G League for a year, let him go. I don't think it's hurting the NCAA at all.
We would be remiss, because it is a big topic of conversation nationwide, to ignore the topic of refereeing, which has been by and large abysmal and controversial, and it's and I feel badly for them in one way sense, because you know they're the replay thing means that everything they do is scrutinized.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, but when you have a call. Such as that basket hang call they called on the Illinois kid. I timed it. His alleged hang was barely 1 second.
Right.
I went 1,001. And by the time I got the whoa, he was down. And a referee thought that was swinging, hanging on the rim at the, you know, that's ridiculous. There's always going to be judgments of the, you know, the flagrant one thing and a flagrant two and the, you know, the Brady Manic ejection in the Carolina game was very controversial. But I just hope that the refereeing picks up and it gets better. There's too many, just too much of a stain on too many games.
Well, I've always had a problem. I mean, if you want to talk about not just in the college game, but, you know, I've just thought basketball in general, I've always been in the rule, let them play, you know, period. And that's just let them play.
I don't know who's responsible over the years. You know, people, there's got somebody out there understands how these things get done, but the points of emphasis that they come up with and the lack of hand checking and stuff and some of the ticky tack calls that are made in college basketball are just beyond, you know, the pale. The other thing is, and I have a fun, this is Bob Ryan's, you know, issue. It's not everybody else's issue. The block charge thing, you know, which is always used to be the number one toughest call until goaltending took it over. But because it knew athleticism of the players makes goaltending, you know, more prevalent.
Right.
But the block charge thing, I've never understood how basketball allowed itself to evolve into a official position that's simply standing there like a lamppost without attempting to impede a player with your arms in the air or sideways is legitimate defense. Standing there doing nothing and you draw a foul, a charge. And then the decision has to be made. Did I slide in? Did I give him landing space? Blah, 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 blah. But the point is just standing there should not ever have constituted a legitimate defense, but it is. And therefore we get, you know, and then which leads to flopping, but I feel badly for referees on that one, and that's not their fault. That's the way the game has been allowed to evolve, and they have to make a call. And some are right and some are wrong. But I hate the idea of taking the charge. I think that's, I wish it had never become, you know.
Well, I mean, the flop is, I mean.
But the flop's another matter too.
Yeah, the flop's
just
another
taking
matter.
A charge, which is exalted and it praiseworthy and how to play defense, and it's accepted and it's taught. But I just don't think it ever should have been allowed to embed itself in basketball as a legitimate way to play the game.
Well, I understand what you're saying.
To make a play on somebody, not just stand there and then get the benefit of it because the guy, you know, ran you over.
I mean, I think that if I, you know, if I slough to the middle and I get a step on you and you run me over 2 or 3 feet from the basket, you know, that's fine. But standing underneath the hoop waiting for some guy to run into you, I agree with you.
Yeah, but that's...
And veteran refs won't call it.
That's a legitimate, you know, and it's a legitimate part of the game, and I just wish it weren't.
All right. Okay, Bob, let's...
Okay. Our Celtics!
Celts! you know, I'm taking a beating on Twitter with the Celtics, and that's okay. But at the time of our taping, you know, they're in a – they're 2.5 back of first place. They've been on a roll. And my feeling on the Celtics, Bob, is just that they're beating all the teams they should beat. You know, I still don't think – yeah, they should have been doing this at the beginning of the season. I still don't think they're Philly. I still don't think they're Milwaukee. I don't know about Miami. Miami just amazes me. But you know, the Celts are right there, but I don't know if I still.
On January 6th, they lost to the Knicks, which made them 18-21.
Yeah.
Since then, they're 27-7. They've won 10 of their last 11.
Right.
But when it started, I agree with you. When it began, remember, I don't know if you remember, but I said beginning of February, give me a good month.
Yeah, you should give you a month. Just
give me a good month. I'm tired of this nonsense, right, of this team blowing leads and beating, not beating teams they should beat. And it all began with a soft part of the schedule. We know that. But at least they were doing what they should have been doing, as you just said. They were winning games that they should have won, games they were not winning in November and December. And they started winning them. And that's, it had to start somewhere, and it started there. And they benefited from players not being in uniform and on the other team. I understand. Right. But they're taking full advantage. And meanwhile, they have a guy who's been player of the week twice in the last four, who's playing at an exceptionally high level, Tatum is. And that's part of it. You know, that obviously starts with that. But they win a game the other night without Robert Williams, who's developed into everything we thought he could be, because all he had to do was stay on the floor.
Well, he's going to be healthy. I mean,
stay on the floor.
But you mentioned those games. Okay, well, they lost that Dallas game.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they beat Golden State. Without Steph, right? They beat Golden State, I think, without Steph. Steph got hurt in that game.
He got hurt by Smart.
They beat Sacramento. They beat Denver. They should, you know, these are games, you know, to me, these are teams that they should be beating up on. That Memphis win, that's a good win over Memphis. Ja did not have a good game that night. But this is what I want to see, and this is where I get very frustrated, because in my career, and you've done this too, you know, I was doing the pre- and post-game show when Pierce and Garnett and Ray were playing, right, that year. And I had the benefit of being up close and personal, well, personal is a bit, but being up close to seeing three Hall of Famers. I mean, just flat out straight, great players, right? Right. And Doc at the time was at the top of his game. So those guys are going for a championship. So I get kind of pissed off and I get a little frustrated now when people start talking about this team the way they were talking about that team. And that's what irritates me.
All right. Well, that's, you know, everything is the spur of the moment, the time, younger people.
They get caught up in it. You know,
it's people for, hey, it's four. This will be 14 years since that championship.
Yeah. I mean,
fans don't get it. You know, that they love their team just as, you know, we had to properly identify back in that year that this was a new generation of fans. At that point, they hadn't won since 1986.
Yeah.
They hadn't won in 22 years. Now they've only won once in 36 years. And they hadn't won in 22 years, so a whole bunch of new people grew up, and that was their team. That was their team, their banner. This had nothing to do with, you know, they couldn't relate to, forget about Russell and Cousy and Havlicek and Cowens. They couldn't relate to Bird and McHale. You know, these were their guys. So this is a new, you know, new people that, this is their new team.
So let's see what, you know, and the other thing I want to talk to you about is I'm still not counting out Brooklyn or the Lakers. I mean, LeBron is on a mission. I got to look up. I don't know what's going on with Anthony Davis, but LeBron's on a mission. And you get LeBron in the tournament. Yeah. You get Durant in the tournament. I don't know what the hell's going
to
happen.
Well, Davis just hit it. You hit it. They have to have Davis too. This Laker team, as constituted, without Anthony Davis, is going nowhere.
Yeah.
That's it. With Anthony Davis, if he's healthy enough to be Anthony Davis, then they become a factor by definition. I agree. Not the factor, a factor. I still don't think they can win this year. But what LeBron is doing, You know, just for the record, as we speak, he's coming off a 38-11-12 game. Just another, which is not out of the ordinary this year. You know, he's having the greatest 37-year-old year probably anyone's ever had. I like the game, by the way, last night was Bob Ryan kind of game. He had 17 field goals, 4 free throws, and no three-point shots.
There you go.
An old-fashioned 17-4-30.
That's right. That's right.
He was 0 for 4 on a 3 last night, and he still had 38 points. That's the way to do it. That's Bob Ryan basketball.
That's right.
Brooklyn, if Mayor Adams and company, you know, they reiterated again as we speak, no. The vaccine mandate is still in effect, and there's no determinant, there's no timetable on lifting it, which affects, of course, three other teams in New York of consequence.
Sure.
Namely the Yankees, the Mets, and the Knicks. So.
Well, this is what we don't know, Bob, about the Celts, and this is we don't know. And Jalen's got to stay healthy. We don't know how Tatum and Brown are going to grind it out for a full playoff series. I mean, when you talk about all these guys, and that's the key with Philly, too, with Harden and Embiid. You know, they got to be healthy. They were sat him out the other night. But, you know, we've seen Durant grind out a number of series. I mean, 30, 40. I mean, just doing it night after night after night. And that we just haven't seen it from the Celtics. Now, they're in the best position they've been in for a long while to do it. And I hope they prove me wrong. But
no, just your reason. I'm the word I've been using to people, I'm highly encouraged.
Sure,
but I'm not going crazy yet. Yeah, we're on the same page with this. I think they can be a real nuisance in the playoffs. I think they could, you know, I mean, they have a chance to make some noise. There's no question. But I still, right? I don't put them on a level with Milwaukee or Miami, and I'm not that. I think they can handle Philly. And I know Embiid. The issue there is Embiid, not Harden. It's Embiid because he has trashed them mightily in the last
the back
that's the issue there, but I wouldn't be afraid. I'd bring them on, but if they're playing Milwaukee or Miami, then they're the underdogs in my mind, and that's fine. I'm happy to have them in this discussion, because we weren't having this discussion in November and December, and we were all frustrated and angry, and they were doing terrible things. Let's just give them the full credit. They have had a league high 9 victories on the road of 20 points or more.
Yeah,
so that testifies to a pretty damn good skill level.
So and also Pritchard is our guy. Pritchard's playing.
Oh, there
finally.
I've been praying for this. Absolutely. If this is it, that's a big bonus. Now, meanwhile, White, after a little good start, has leveled off a little bit. Shooting wise, his shooting is not good lately. I think he's shooting 24% on threes, but he's still an important addition. But are they? Well, I do worry how. If they're deep, sufficiently deep enough, to get the job done. One other guy, Grant Williams, coming off a terrific game.
I know.
20-point game.
I know. I mean, I would have cut him a long time ago, but he just won't go away. I've never been a fan, but he's making me look bad.
Yeah. And
hey, what about the coach? You were down there for when they retired Garnett's number. I mean, tell us about Ime. What are you hearing about him? And as far as, because I don't know if he's getting enough credit, because at one point we were saying, is he the right guy?
Yeah.
Well, he's done something right.
We were saying, you know, that they didn't appear to be buying what he was selling, which is what coaching is all about in November and December. And you wondered if, but now it appears that his patience with people, whatever he's doing is working. And you know, the same people that were praising him on the outside when he got the job are saying, yeah, we told you so.
Right. So
his stock is high. Very high. Yeah.
The T-Wolves. Mm. I want to talk. I mean, you take a look at the standings. You're like, oh, my God, holy cow. These guys
they sneaked up on me. They sneaked totally. Up. Towns, of course, got every attention with a 60-point game. Wiggins, Edwards. Edwards, he's turned out to be worthy of his high draft stature. They're sneaky. They've been.
Are they the St. Peter's? That's what I was going to bring this all in. Are they the St. Peter's?
Not quite that. They're when you got a player like Towns, you know, who's got a chip on his shoulder now. He told the world he's the best shooting big man ever, and then he goes out and gets 61 points. So he's walking the walk a little bit. I like him. I have to respect it. And they're in the mix, and they're definitely, they put themselves in the mix in the West, and good. And that's a franchise, you know, what very modest success since they came into the league.
Right.
You know, they had a little run with KG, never went very far in the playoffs, and it's never, you know, they haven't had a lot to cheer about those fans. It's just, and they've been, you know, we're coming up to 25 years now almost, you know.
Since, yeah. And I remember, like, I'd watch them, you know, you see Towns play, and then when they got Edwards, I mean, they'd be fun to watch. I mean, I'd sit there and I'd watch them. But at the end of the day, they'd just do something stupid.
Right now,
they would be a blast to watch, but they'd lose every game.
Well, but now they're on a roll, and they're quietly emulating in the West what the Celtics are doing in the East, you know, at least in the last 3 weeks or so. So, yeah, good. Welcome to the club. Welcome to the party, I'll put it that way.
Yeah, I think so, too. You know, I mean, I think so, too. Do you think Steph's issue, I was reading this on NBA.com, you know, Steph being out for a couple of weeks for Golden State, is that going to cause them a big problem?
Well, it's only important to me. Where seating is not that important. If you want health, the only number one thing is get them ready for the playoffs. They do have a guy that, you know, if you recall, Gordon Poole had a terrific first half of the year. And when Thompson came back, we said, well, Poole's going to have to accept a new role now, diminished minutes and new role. Will he handle it? And he had a big game the other night he still can put the ball in the back. They still got a lot of components. But once again, Draymond Green, it never ends. You know, he cost them one championship, in my opinion.
Right.
And now, you know, he's at it again. He just got fined big money for profanity directed at
right.
fans. He's always a suspension waiting to happen.
Well, I got to tell you, I thought this was Golden State's year to win it. I didn't think anybody was going to beat Golden State the way they started. But now, dude, I don't know.
Well, no, I know. I still think, you know, right now you'd have to put your money on Phoenix out there if it started today. But obviously Golden State, we assume that Steph will be playing and hopefully reasonably healthy.
Yeah, I mean, Golden State, it should be Golden State and the Suns coming out of the West, or depending on how the seeding starts, but I don't know. And it's not just Steph. I mean, I just think that one of the things that I've witnessed over the last month is just that there's a lot of teams now. I mean, at the beginning of the season, I said it's going to be Phoenix or Golden State, and that's it. But, there's a lot of other teams rising.
No, that's good. Well, good. I mean, the East is better, and
no doubt. Like, I didn't think the East was going to win. Now I don't know.
No, I mean, I respect the Suns, but you're not afraid of them. You know what I mean?
Just, right.
And that's where we are this year in the NBA. That, you know, you have the two mystery teams, the Lakers and the Brooklyn. You know, because of the obvious reasons, the health reason for the LA.
And Miami doesn't go away. Like, no, I keep expecting Miami to go away. They don't go away. Like Chicago's going away. Like Miami doesn't go away.
No, they're going to be heard from. Oh no, there's no question. Meanwhile, the Brooklyn thing goes on and on with the Kyrie thing. You know, he's not going to do it. They're waiting. They're praying that they're going to get the vaccine mandate lifted.
Right.
But if it isn't and the playoffs come, it is going to be the strangest team circumstance we've ever seen in American sport.
Crazy.
Where a team would much prefer to be on the road than at home because they can't use one of its players. It's just looming over them. It's crazy.
Bob, you have an assignment this week. Okay. Have you watched Winning Time yet?
Episode 1. Okay. I saw. It was dreadful.
You didn't like it? Oh.
The portrayal of Jerry West.
Oh, my God.
I'm supposed to like it was a cartoon. It was a human cartoon. I can't deal with it.
You got to watch the next two episodes.
Yeah, I have to.
I'll tell you this. Okay, there's no question. I'll tell you this. They paint West in a much more compassionate light. Because the thing that I've got from this is that he was really tormented by not winning against the Celtics, and he was very hard on himself.
If you read his book, everybody that knows him or knows anything about him knows the basics, which is that he's a tormented person.
Yeah,
he's a dark soul. His book, his autobiography, is one of the darkest autobiographies of anybody in any walk of life, be it entertainer, politician, athlete. You feel so bad. You don't feel good after it's done. This is, remember, he would never come to Boston. He'd never come back. All those years he was a gem. He never accompanied the team.
Yeah.
I among others thought, Jerry, come back. People love you in Boston. Your reception would be tremendous. And it would have been. Even Johnny Most liked him, called him Gentleman Jerry, you know, and all that. No, he's a tormented guy. There's no question. But that they made him into an idiot.
Yeah, it is.
His trophy out the window.
Yeah,
the glass.
Yeah. The whole thing is. I mean, I get it. I get what you're saying.
I know it's a dramatization. I understand that. But does everybody? It's worrisome.
Well, no, that's the thing. Is that, I mean, look, Adrian Brody is Pat Riley, you know. I mean, even, you know, Riley's nose isn't that big.
I know. Chickles, our boy, local guy, makes good plays, Red. And I know he enjoyed, from what I gather, he had a good, fun time playing Red.
Yeah, he had a fun time. His hair was a little long.
All right. So I understand Larry's entrance is I'm not going to be happy with Larry's portrayal.
I don't think so. Yeah.
I'm aware of that transpires. I know I have to see it so I can be up on it and converse it. And I can't be one of these people that say, I hate that book and I never read it. I can't say I hate the rest of it, but I didn't like episode one. I can assure you of that.
Yeah.
I'll get to it. I'll get around to it.
Well, I guess knowing Adam McKay and his style, and I don't accept it as fact at all. It's entertainment.
What I want to know is how much of, I didn't read Silverman's book, so I don't know exactly how much is, I'd like to talk to Silverman. So I wonder what he thinks, you know, I mean,
dude, he's getting paid.
What they've done with his book. Yeah. I
yeah.
Know. Well, yeah. Yeah. Did he sell his soul to them so they could, anyway.
Well, Bob, Jesus, late at night. I didn't want to upset you.
But it'll be a couple of weeks because next week I'm busy.
Yeah, you get after the tournament.
And I'm going to the Final Four, so, myself, so as a fan. So
good for you.
I'll be in the
Maybe world. You should. Maybe you and Goodman should do something from the Final Four.
Well, if we can,
And I'll do it from my basement.
Okay. Well, I'll be totally available. So maybe we can work something out.
Okay. Bob, thank you, my friend. Anything else on your mind?
No, that's it. Just, I'm just looking forward to continuing the tournament. I love the tournament. And, that's it. No, I'm good.
Bob, we got it done. Late night with Bob Ryan.